Ahoy hoy!
Ahoy hoy!
Welcome to the Ring Podcast with myself, Quiva, and my friend, Jen.
Hi. We had some funny technical difficulty before this episode started recording. We're gonna start off strong right into a tangent.
Yeah. Go on.
So a thing Windows does that annoys me a lot is for gaming reasons, I use a PlayStation 5 controller. When I have this plugged in by USB to the computer, like if it's running out of charge, Windows does this annoying thing where for some reason it will try to use it as an audio device, as the default audio device, which will break sound on most things. But it doesn't actually play audio from the controller normally. It just like breaks audio. When I joined the call, I could hear Quiva off in the distance somewhere, not through my headphones, but somewhere. And it took me. She sounded like the noise it made, because these are not good speakers. The noise it made was like just this slow rumbling that was just barely recognizable as human speech. And it took me a while to realize that she was inside my controller. I could feel it vibrating when she talked.
Yeah, I was just shouting random shit. I was shouting like, "Jen, I'm here," into the microphone to try and help her find it.
I could hear my controller was saying something, but I could not make out any of the words.
It's great. I love that. I love that the PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, they just stuck like a controller or like a microphone barely above the Wii remote speaker into it.
This is worse quality than the Wii remote speaker.
That's impossible. That's not possible.
It was not discernible as speech.
Oh.
Like the Wii speaker sounds like incredibly low quality speech, but you can still recognize words said through it as speech.
Okay, well, we figured
this
it
sounded
out.
Like, this sounded like something that was not meant to be a speaker being treated like a speaker, which I think.
Oh,
was
it playing
was.
Audio through the microphone? Because that is possible, I think.
I think that might have been what was happening.
Great. Anyway, the Ring Terror's Realm. Or sorry, not Terror's Realm, what are we talking about? The final chapter.
We're talking about Terror's Realm again.
No, for the third time.
It's the only thing we talk about now.
Yeah, sorry, my brain is fried. I had a long day at work. This is the perfect time to talk about this show.
So where we left off last episode, they'd figured out that Moriyama was dating Sadako, but by the time they got to the hospital to go speak to him, they'd found that he died. And this is when Ryuji gave his call about, you know, someone is following your every move and they're one step ahead of you. It could be one of your trusted friends, or it could even be your fucking 6-year-old child.
Yeah.
And also, the sample with the sample with the glowing green Joker serum in it was found.
Oh,
I suck at recap stuff.
This show is great. Anyway, basically for the start of this episode, everyone is in the hospital now. Everything's in the hospital. Don't worry about it. Mai is in the hospital. She's acting creepy and then faints again. But then she comes back and she's suddenly acting normal. Like, normal as in, not normal for Mai, normal as in, like, actually normal, unlike how she has been for the entire show.
She's, like, talking in full sentences now.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, I want to go back to school." And Miyashita is like, "Oh, we just want to keep you in hospital for a little bit longer." And then she suddenly turns really serious and is like, "My brother's going to come for me. There's no point in keeping me here." And then Miyashita walks into her lab and Ryuji is there with the scalpel.
Well, before that, we need to wrap up the thrilling hospital presidency plotline because that will become relevant later. So at the end of the last episode, we saw Miyashita finding the glowing green the cell cultures which they had planted with the glowing things they could tell if it had been tampered with. We see the person who was watching her out of frame during the cliffhanger of the last time with that was Nagano, is it?
Nagao.
Nagao, that was his name, sorry. He comes over, so now they have evidence that Ogaki, the other person who is running for presidency in the hospital, was the one who has been tampering with the samples. The
Wait, was
samples
it?
of the ring virus.
Wait, I'm already okay. I'm already have it mixed up then. Was it not Nagao who was doing it?
Well,
Oh,
spoilers for
fuck.
later on. Spoilers for later on, I think.
In my notes I do have a bit about Ogaki talking about like spending a load of money to like try and win the hospital election, but that's about it about him.
Yeah, I think the implication was that Nagao did it and framed Ogaki because Ogaki was his competitor in the competition for hospital election. And we do get a scene later, pretty soon after, of Ogaki and like a colleague smoking cigarettes and laughing about, haha, we should spend a lot of money to rig this thing. We're evil. And then a couple of guys in suits come in. And from the medical college, I'm not sure if what their role there is, but they basically tell him to pull out of the election because of the
Oh,
evidence that he was
fuck
obstructing
it.
the election.
I'm so good at watching TV.
Everyone needs to know about the thrilling hospital election plot line. We're all
Yeah, which
gripped by
gets
this.
resolved very suddenly. Anyway, along with some other things, but yeah, there's also like a new detective investigating fucking Ryuji.
He's got a Columbo raincoat, as is customary for detectives.
I think it's just a trench coat.
The detective in a trench coat is always a Columbo to me, spiritually.
That definitely predates Columbo. But yeah, he tells Asakawa and Yoshino to like pass on any information about Ryuji. Yeah, Miyashita hit or back with Miyashita and Ryuji. Miyashita hits the alarm, and it startles Ryuji enough for her to run away, and then he like dramatically cuts his own palm with the scalpel. Miyashita finds Asakawa and Yoshino and tells them that Ryuji is here and Mai escapes. And or by escapes I mean walks out while the alarm is going off and everyone's evacuating the hospital. Ryuji finds her in the car park. And when it happens, the dramatic music that plays just cuts off extremely suddenly in a way that I just found very funny.
They
And then they hug.
hug and they get their faces very close to each other, and I was very worried for a second that they
Yeah,
were going to kiss.
while the piano, while the like sad, maybe slightly romantic piano cover of the theme music of the show plays. Yeah, she wants to go with him, but he says not now. And he runs away, and the cop and Asakawa boat run after him, but the cop doesn't notice, but Asakawa does, that Ryuji wrote a message on the wall of the car park in his blood saying Steel Tower. And then Asakawa notices like a pylon not too far away and walks over there. Oh yeah, and Mai tackles the cop chasing Ryuji to let him escape.
Ryuji has to give his talk with the tower. He's like hiding off screen somewhere in some shrubs. We don't see him during the conversation. We just hear his voice. I'm imagining that he's probably even out of sight, still not facing him while he's talking him.
He's just, yeah, shouting really loudly in the other direction.
He's hiding in the bushes with his arms behind his back, dramatically facing away as always.
He tells Asakawa that he's going to transform into a devil.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He's going to activate his devil gene.
Well, the word he uses is Akuma, which is a different fighting game series.
Right, my bad. But Ryuji is so fucking funny in this show. I'm gonna miss him.
Mai asks Yoshino why everyone thinks her brother is a murderer. I think it's probably because he said he murdered that guy.
Well, he said he killed him with a curse, Gringo.
I still, 10 episodes in, I still fail to see the distinction there.
I don't get what you're not getting there.
And she tells a story about how good a brother he is, and how when they got split up as children, and were being like fostered separately, he would visit her. It shows her like on a farm, and he like sneaks in, and it shows him giving her the music box that she's had the whole show.
Origins of the music box.
Asakawa gets a lead on finding a doctor who survived from the sanatorium where everyone died. There's like a little tragic bit where he like comes home. And he's like, oh, he's like, go just finally spend some time with Yoichi. And then he gets this information and like just goes to leave again, and Yoichi gets really upset.
Yeah, he calls him a liar, and like, yeah, it's a very sad scene. I feel so bad for this Asakawa. The lead they get, by the way, is a letter from Moriyama, a
Oh,
letter he
yes,
wrote
yeah.
to Sadako in like some time before his death.
Yes, that's important too, actually.
Yeah. We get like a scene of Ryuji underneath some trades going on, and he's like crying, which I think is the first time we've seen him like show that strong motive. Well, he's shown fear before, but and we also get the cut of Mai crying at the same time.
I have this in my notes as Ryuji
Connection.
is having a breakdown.
Yeah, although I would say I almost feel sorry for him as well, but he is Ryuji, and it's hard to take him seriously.
Yeah, so then we have Miyashita explaining her most normal theory yet to Yoshino, which is that it's really weird that Mai only has positive thoughts about her brother. That like normally people, even if they like really love someone, they still like have a bad thing to say about them. but my really, really strongly thinks her brother is amazing in every way. Therefore, someone brainwashed her to unconditionally love her brother.
It's a real leap in logic.
Yeah, we're just going straight to this. There's also another funny instance of the I've mentioned the Channel 8 copy I watched before, with occasionally kind of funny subtitles. This one is like, there's a line where she literally like says the word mind control out loud in English, in talking about like the idea of brainwashing someone. And the Channel 8 subtitles somehow render this as, "Have you heard of micro remote control therapy?"
Yeah, no idea how they got that.
It's like you could tell a lot of the, you could tell a lot of the time like subtitles are a bit not great, but it's very funny when you just realize, oh, they're just saying something in English and the subtitles are just really wrong. And then we start to get the evidence against Nagao, because
Yes.
Asakawa finds that Nagao was the one working at the sanatorium and email some stuff to Miyashita. And then Miyashita prints them, but then finds copies of them in Nagao's office. Because he like stole them to look at them and decided to leave them on his desk in a very incriminating way for some reason. Miyashita and Asakawa confront Nagao about Sadako, and he's just like, "Oh, I was just working in New York at that time. Fuck off. You have nothing on me."
Yeah, he denies everything.
Yeah.
He never worked at a tuberculosis sanatorium, he says.
Also, then it turns out that Nagao is like, so there's a scene where he goes away and he's just talking to these like shady business guys, and it turns out he is like, he is the one who is stealing the samples. Sorry, I spoiled that. And
I mean, it's not a huge reveal, to be honest.
But he is like made a shady deal with some of these guys to give them samples of like this new type of smallpox virus so that they can spread it and then sell a new vaccine. And these are the guys, it turns out, who killed Kashiwada and Moriyama. Sadly, it was not Yoichi.
No, it was not Yoichi.
Surprisingly, it was not the 4-year-old child. It's probably more than that. I don't know. I'm terrible at telling children's ages.
He's pretty young. He's like in preschool age.
But yeah, this is the sudden reveal explaining a bunch of dangling plot lines, I guess.
Asakawa, Yoshino, and Miyashita all go up to search Nagao's office, but he Nagao sees the light from their flashlights in his office as he's about to leave work and goes rushing up to confront them. During this, he's like grabbing his shoulder. He's starting to have a pain, a very like noticeable pain in his shoulder. And this is about when we get the one scene that you showed me long before we started recording this, that I was very excited to getting to this whole time.
So he starts, yeah, he's holding his shoulder in pain, which is, significant if you remember the plot of the books.
The start of this episode, we forgot to mention, the start of this episode too opens with Asakawa like mulling over what they know about the tape and how like the only mystery from that tape they haven't solved yet is who was the man with the gash in his shoulder at the end of the tape. That was kind of set up at the beginning.
So he staggers into the bathroom and he sees like Sadako's hair starts coming out of the drain.
And also the character Sada has appeared as a scar on his shoulder. He sees in
Yes.
the mirror.
And he runs out into a hallway, and an empty wheelchair starts chasing him incredibly slowly.
It's so non-threatening. I mean, even the speed, like even it's not that slow, but like that's probably gonna like hurt a little. But the thought of a wheelchair bumping into you kind of fast is not a lethal threat.
Yeah, and then he just stops it by like opening a door, and it just like gently nudges against it and stops.
And then the peak of this, it's
he's just like trying to escape down the hallway, and a fucking corpse just flies through a window.
not just any corpse. It's
Okay.
our girl. It's
Yeah, sorry.
Sadako.
Sadako's body just flies through a window, and it is just lying completely still on the floor, face down. And it like cut. It's just like her dead
So
body
funny.
lying on the floor, and he's like staggers back in fright. And then it cuts back to the corpse, still like perfectly still for a second. It plays like reversed footage of Sadako lying down on the ground, so it's like she gets up backwards and then laughs evilly at him, although it's much less deep than when she was possessing the actress.
The shot of her fully face planting on the floor is very funny. That's if you've seen our co-host banner of another instance of Sadako just face planting onto the floor, it's that level.
Nagao runs into the gang, screaming about Sadako, and Asakawa sees the bite mark and is like, "Oh, you're the bitch from the tape."
The rest of them cannot see Sadako or any other signs this happened, so it seems to be some kind of. Oh, they can see the scars on his shoulder, but they can't see like Sadako face planting in the hallway.
So he confesses everything to them. So we see a flashback of him when he's young in the sanatorium, and Sadako visiting Moriyama. I think when we did the birthday, I got Moriyama and Toyama's names mixed up. Sadako has a type, and it's guys whose name ends in Yama.
Tokiyama.
In the Spiral movie, yes.
Yeah, the flashback. It happens much like it does in the book. It's
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, he rapes her.
He rapes her.
She did There's an extra thing she says. She tells him, when before he kills her, "I've already left something precious behind." And him dumping her in the well is kind of made semi-accidental, of like he's still like strangling her. And while he's doing it, he's like holding her on top of some boards on top of the well, and he like when he's pressing down on her, the boards break under her and she falls in. Then in the present, he dies of a heart attack. Owned.
Rip Bozo.
The next thing that happens is Miyashita is giving a presentation. They've like isolated the virus. The new smallpox virus, and they have like a like electron microscope image of it. Unlike in the books, it's still a ring shape, and they call it the ring virus, but it's not like sperms. It's like it looks more like a knot. But yeah, they kind of speculate on like the virus and the relationship between it, Sadako, the school, the video, the well, and Asakawa wonders what it is that Sadako left behind.
And again, going back to the start of the episode with Asakawa mulling over what they know about the tape. Up until this point, he assumed the baby in that tape was Sadako. But the thing about thinking about this and the line "something she left behind." Oh, actually, no. It's Yoshino says something about the tape being everything that Sadako saw, and it's from this that he realizes that Sadako couldn't have seen herself as a baby, so like in third person. So the baby is what she left behind. She had a child.
And then as a last thing, it also shows someone cutting off a scalp, a sample of the scar tissue on Nagao's shoulder, which I did not like looking at.
No, it was very gross, and they do show at the end of this episode in the last shot that it is Ryuji, so you have to say someone.
Oh, did they show it was Ryuji? Sorry.
Yeah, either way, they would have showed at the start of the next episode anyway. It's a
Fair.
huge. We don't know what he's doing with it yet, but he's scooping a gross big old chunk out of that scar tissue.
Well, we do know what he's doing it yet, because episode 11 is called Ryuji Takayama, comma, dies. But first,
I think you added that comment there.
the comma is in the title as I have it, like in my media center thing that takes it from like, was
Oh,
it
is
the
it?
movie database or?
I was getting the episode names off of Wikipedia where it's not there, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I'm sorry for correcting you on this, but I really need to stop going off. No, not on tangents, because tangents can be fun. We need to stop going off on tangents that are not interesting to anybody on the earth.
Yeah, the moviedb.org has the episode name as Ryuji Takayama, comma, dies. I don't know why there's a comma
Feel like that was a typo.
there. Either way, first we're talking about fucking taxis.
Yeah, they are ephemera for the episode. We're talking about promotion for Sadako DX. A lot of these things were promotions for either Sadako 3D or Sadako DX.
Yeah, well, they're more recent movies, so they're more like the promotions for them are easier to like find online and on YouTube and things like that.
So this promotion was for a period from late October to early November in about 50 taxis around Tokyo. They would have a Sadako-themed taxi ride.
Yeah, the taxi is interesting. It's like the one that there's photos and video of at least is a very like London black cab hackney design taxi. I don't know how common those are in Tokyo, or is it like a specific set of ones that people use for promotion because they're kind of iconic taxi design.
I don't know.
I won't go on a tangent about London for 10 minutes, so I threatened to do that to Jen earlier. I won't do that.
That's probably more interesting than the comma tangent, so.
If you want to look up your own time, the stuff about like London has some like really strict weird regulations about taxis, and because it's London and England, everything has a really weird name. There's a thing called the knowledge, just the knowledge. That's very important.
Creeper sent me some links about this when she was kind of informing me about a little, and it's very funny to have a Wikipedia link that just ends in hashtag the knowledge. The exact link was taxis of the United Kingdom hashtag the knowledge.
Yeah, London is like up just a pile of fucking organizations and bylaws and stuff left over from medieval times till now. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about Sadako Taxi, which we couldn't find a whole lot about this. I don't think there's too much to it. But we found like one article and we found a ride of it, which really made the rides look underwhelming.
Yeah, it seems to just be a taxi with a picture of Sadako on the side, and then when you get in, there's a TV screen on the back of the front seats so that you can see. It shows there's a QR code that you could open an app to, like, point your camera on your phone at this code, and an AR 3D Sadako jumping out of the back of the seat to get you comes up in on your phone screen, and then it
Not
just
moving, just like a static thing of her coming out of the screen. And because you have to like align the QR code perfectly in the video we're watching, she kept like appearing and disappearing because it would go off of alignment.
yeah, and then it just plays like an ad for Sadako GX and a video from Sadako's YouTube channel.
That looks so underwhelming.
Yeah, the one unique thing is just like a little safety video of Sadako telling you how to put on a seatbelt.
Yeah, which seems to be done with the Sadako from the YouTube channel, which I'm excited when we eventually get to that. There'll probably be a little bit, but the Sadako YouTube channel is a fun time.
Yeah, we can dip into that well a few times probably when we start running out of other ephemera.
I said before that if we run out of ephemera to talk about completely, we could do just like a video, an episode for that as a new section, a segment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of videos that talk about it. We probably won't be able to fit into one episode.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, that's basically the Sadako taxi. It seemed very underwhelming, and I'm sure it was overpriced as fuck. Well, it was also an ad, so maybe it was actually cheap. I don't know.
Do you think this advertisement worked? Do you think anyone got into the Sadako taxi and was convinced to go watch Sadako DX by this?
I doubt it. I feel like anyone who would want to get the Sadako taxi probably was going to go see the movie.
I mean, people who specifically order it, but do you think there's anyone who just like got it or take a normal taxi?
You're asking, you want a normal taxi and you just get fucking got by Sadako. Anyway, Ryuji Takayama comma dies.
Yeah, we finally fucking get him.
So yeah.
I say that I've got some animosity in my heart still to Ryuji from the novels, but I like the Ryuji in this show a lot, and I do actually miss him now.
Ryuji is a spectrum. On one end we have Ryuji from the original novel, and on the other end we have Ryoko.
Yes. God, Rico is so fun. I miss her in general.
It's a shame. It's a shame there'll be nothing else with her in it.
Maybe one day we could revisit if on the off chance there's ever a like actual translation of the audio drama instead of the
Yeah.
shitty machine translated one we had to use.
Oh, we should introduce Koji Suzuki to the concept of forced feminization.
Speaking about forced feminization, when you were starting that sentence off to about trans Ryuji, I thought you could say when she introduced him to estrogen.
I think transition would save Ryuji. I'm not sure it would save Koji
I can't say I know enough about the man to know if forced femming
Yeah,
would be
okay. Well,
good for her.
let's stop making these jokes about a real person.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
And transition is not for everyone, but it might be for you, listener. Think about it.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, Asakawa, at the start of this episode, Yeah, he
What am
figures
I
out
saying? All of our listeners are on curse. They're already trans.
Asakawa
I'm sorry
Asaka.
that I'm the one getting us horribly off track in this episode. I'll
It's
shut up
okay.
now.
It's okay. Asakawa figures out that the baby on the tape must be Sadako's baby. And Miyashita learns that someone has taken a cut from the like tumors that grew up around the scars in Nagao's shoulder. And the stakes of this episode are very high because Asakawa's, we haven't been keeping track of like days remaining, but Asakawa's deadline is tonight now. He's going to die at 11K3 PM.
The last 24 hours, not the last episode though, which is interesting. We got one
So
more double length episode after this.
yeah. So Ryuji rigs Asakawa and begs him to stop him from what he's about to do. Which is presumably become a demon. And Miyashita comes in with another theory, of trying to like explain everything scientifically again, which is that the visual stimulus of the tape could activate the dormant ring virus in the same way ultraviolet radiation can activate herpes. Which seems a bit of a stretch.
I mean, we can't be questioning the science in this series at this point. It's always been nonsense. It's just part of the package.
Yeah, although like most of Miyashita's rationalizations are also just like clearly wrong.
Well, it's because she's a scientist in the Ring universe.
Yeah. So yeah, she also hypnotizes Mai again, and Mai this time is able to remember the face of the man who was there at her parents' death, and it is Ikuma, Sadako's dad. Asakawa goes to Ryuji's office and he sees a very confusing set of messages on the screen that are just like I think it's meant to be like is it like a conversation that Ryuji and Sadako were having psychically by projecting things on the screen or something? I'm kind of confused about what was going on there.
I think that might be it, although also the person on one end asks, "Are you Sadako's child?" and they write Sadako, which I'm not entirely sure who it was on the other end.
Yeah, Sadako also appears on the screen as well. Which is like why I think it was Sadako was the other end of the conversation, but I'm kind of confused about this whole scene.
Sadako would make the most sense, so maybe Sadako just refers to herself in the third person. To
Yeah.
be dramatic.
Yeah, Miyashita and Yoshino start searching Akuma's archives again. Miyashita is like musing a bit about like ideas of genetic memory.
There, it's also with the message in the computer. The important takeaway from that
Oh yeah.
is that Sadako or whoever it is told Ryuji to go back to the place you were born.
Right, yes.
That's the next lead in the
Oh, is
mystery
it
with it.
like is it Ryuji talking to the virus?
Oh god, that'd be really stupid. So probably is that.
Yeah, but yeah, so then Miyashita and Yoshino are searching Ikuma's archives again. Miyashita is talking about like genetic memory and stuff of this nature. There's another great Channel 8 subtitles moment, the best one in the entire show, where Miyashita picks up a reel of film labeled Gedächtnis und Werbung, which the subtitles helpfully say means this is written in French. Yeah, anyway, that's German for memory and heredity. Or hereditary, rather. Memory and Hereditary.
Yoshino and Miyashita set it up in a theater somewhere. And the tape is the time when Mai's parents died. It was being filmed through a hole in like the screen door.
Yeah, and Ikuba narrates about like how Sadako's hatred, so Ryuji is Sadako's son, and Sadako's hatred was like genetically imprinted onto Ryuji.
Really, just throughout the big twist there.
Yeah, sorry, this is interspersed with Asakawa and Ryuji having a conversation where he says basically the same thing himself. He's like he's like compelled by Sadako's DNA to kill everyone.
Yeah, the big plot twist, yes, is that Ryuji is Sadako's child. All
Yeah.
the stuff with Mai was a red herring. She was
Yeah.
just kind of creepy, I guess.
Well, there's kind of a reason for that too, but well, yeah.
Is this where they get into Mai's connection with Ryuji, or is that later?
We see it cuts back and forth between the footage a bit, but yeah, that is where it goes.
Okay, well, we also understand that Ikuma somehow implanted a way to control the inherited hatred of Sadako inside Ryuji with Mai. Like,
Yeah.
as long as Ryuji is with Mai, this will suppress the hatred inside of him.
Because he's brainwashed her to love Ryuji unconditionally. It's the one time Miyashita's
Yeah, he also brainwashed her to love him so that they wouldn't be separated. I feel like there has to have been an easier way to stop him from killing everyone. Like,
but also that if he does turn evil, she is programmed to murder
yes.
him.
They acknowledge, just Ikuma does acknowledge, like, the obvious question you're probably wondering, which is why doesn't he just kill Ryuji now himself? It's that Ryuji hasn't done anything evil yet, and he doesn't want to kill him as an innocent, so
Yeah.
he's just gonna program in to kill him in the future when he does become evil.
Yes. So he's just going to ruin two innocent people's lives instead. And also when Asakawa and Ryuji are talking, he like starts getting angry and he's like says Asakawa is just like everyone else. You copied the tape to show it to me to save your son, despite the fact that that is not what happened at all. And
Yeah, that's not what
Asakawa
happened.
had no
When he...
idea about copying the tape, and actually it was Ryuji who made the copy of the tape.
Yeah, and
Asakawa.
when Asakura showed Ryuji the tape, it was long before they knew about copying it or showing it to others.
And Ryuji is the
And
one who copied it.
yes, and Ryuji accepted to watch the tape willingly. He didn't force him or anything. He knew that it was a cursed tape, and
Yeah.
he chose to watch it. Really baffling line.
I don't find the line baffling. I find the fact that Asakawa doesn't refute any of it at all, like, baffling. And like, you know, and Asakawa is the one who when Yoshino brought up the idea of making who should we make copies and show them to save Yoichi, he was immediately furious at her.
Yasuka has been throughout is very against the idea of spreading the tape. He very much is going with the mindset that he will sooner die from the curse than spread it further.
Yeah, also while they've been watching this reel of film, Mai escaped the hospital again.
She just keeps doing it. Do you think they put security on her after the first time?
Miyashita also tries to convince Asakawa to make a copy of the tape and show it to her, but he refuses.
This is quite a, again, a kind of touching scene of Asakawa calling Yoichi on the phone for what will probably be the last time since he has one more day left at this point.
Yeah, he tells Yuichi I won't be home tonight, but I will be tomorrow, and then just breaks down crying in the car.
It's a very nice scene. That again, the it's such a welcoming break to have these characters be like genuinely sympathetic, because I've said before, the novels, they do a lot of things right, but the character writing is not one of its strong suits.
Like I
And
yeah,
like,
I don't think it's necessarily bad to have a character like have an anti like an unheroic protagonist. Just don't make him just don't make them a like rapist or wannabe rapist and guy who is fine being friends with a rapist. Like if he's cowardly or flawed or like what and he willing to like sell out the world to save his kids or whatever. That's that's a fair like I buy that as a protagonist, but like why the rape stuff? It doesn't even add, it's like not even relevant to the story in that book at all. It's just there. Sorry. Sorry.
And it really messed with the character going later on when they decided to make him the most special genius boy in the universe, and they just had to
Yeah.
very conspicuously never mention the rape stuff again.
Yeah, but anyway, more to the point, yeah. Asakawa is much more heroic in the show than he is in the book, which I think is also kind of like if you're going to be have a TV show, you're spending like 10 hours with these characters. Yeah, he might want to make him a bit more likable, a bit more heroic, I guess.
Well, not even just like heroic, like it is heroic, like he's refused. Actually, there was a thing I would bring about that in like a later scene near the end that I particularly liked, but just like more sympathetic as a character in general. Like it focuses a lot more on his relationship with his son than like anything
Yeah.
else, and like it really adds a lot to the character when like you feel sorry for him going through all of this, and you like want him to succeed more. We talked when we were talking about the original Ring novel about like the problem of like just apathy we had for that Asakawa.
Yeah, there's not really much of an indication that Asakawa in the book even particularly likes his wife or child.
No.
Yeah, and then Mai finds Ryuji at their old house. She tries to knife Ryuji, but Asakawa rushes in and stops her. And then Yoshino and Miyashita both show up. And then Asakawa decides that they should go to the well at the school where that the school was built on top of because that's where that's where like Sadako's hatred was born.
Yes, he figured out the where you were born thing refers to, yes, yeah, Sadako's will to end humanity.
Yeah. This is the thinking about that is what made me think, oh wait, is it Ryuji talking to the ring virus? Or the curse
It's
itself? Is like, I don't know.
I don't know. It could be.
Yeah,
It's dumb, but it could be.
so yeah, he finds Ryuji there again at like 11:30, and Asakawa's deadline is a 11:03, so it's getting pretty close.
They're consistent. But yeah, so he finds Ryuji there and he confronts him. Ryuji is like planning to spread the virus. Like we get the reveal that the reason he cut off the cancer lump is because he's going to spread the virus manually. He's taking the physical form of the virus to spread as a faster way of
Yeah.
spreading it than via the tape.
But he's like so he's fighting with himself from like the compulsion to kill everyone, but then he's also trying to throw himself he wants to throw himself into the well to kill himself. So that my can be free. I have in my notes, in brackets, sad piano theme intensifies.
I love that theme. This is like the part of like the Asuka and this being genuinely heroic that I really liked about him as a character, which is that so at this point Ryuji is going to like end the world. And so or is like trying to end humanity. And at this point, like it would be probably beneficial for him if Ryuji did just die. Like I kind of jokingly said when we were watching it, why doesn't he just kill Ryuji? Or like why did he stop Mai from trying to stab him? But he still he does. He stops Mai from trying to stab him, and later on when he finally confronts him and Ryuji's talking about throwing himself into the well, Asakawa still tries to talk him out of doing it, and when he jumps into the well, Asakawa still follows him in and tries to rescue him. And like I really liked that about this version of Asakawa, that even when it would be easier for him if Ryuji did just die. And when he's down in the well, so he gets a vision of Sadako's face in the water. The one who's been responsible for this, Sadako's will. And he does say, "I never would respect it," which he just tries to talk Sadako out of her hatred and tries to tell her to let go. Which is something that no one in these books even considered to do, to just like reason with her.
And he reads Moriyama's letter to her.
Yeah. To try and convince her, to show her that there is some good in humanity with this man who loved her and who she loved. And it's just really good. Like a theme that's kind of been in the series is just like, this curse and this non-human virus against like humanity. And this really I really liked this as like Asakawa being kind of like championing to her like the good of humanity. He's a really good character in this Asakawa. It's amazing what they've done with him from what he was in the books to make him so much compelling. So I just had to ramble about that
No,
theme a
that's
bit because I
fair.
just
That's
really like
great.
it.
And yeah, while all that is happening as well, he also tries to convince Ryuji that, look, you're not just a tool of revenge. You just tried to sacrifice yourself to save your sister. You don't have to like be evil, basically. But while he's telling that to Ryuji dies. Sorry, Ryuji Takayama, comma, dies.
He dies from falling into the well. He's
Yes.
still alive when he goes down there, but he kind of dies a few seconds later from well.
And his ghost appears to Mai in the hospital again and kisses her on the lips.
Yep, this time they do kiss. Earlier on, I said I was very afraid they weren't going to kiss, but no, in this episode they do just non-biological brother and sister just kiss right on the lips.
He was saving himself until after death.
God.
And also Yoshino shows up and shouts down that it's 11:04 p.m. He only has 8 minutes left, and she has a copy of she has like his copy of the tape, so she is going to try and copy it to show to someone to save him.
Yeah, she rushes into the school's night guard, this like elderly man, and asks to like you she desperately needs to show him something in like the or like use the school's VCR, which he just lets her do this. He just lets this strange panicked woman into the school at night to show him a tape, which I guess he's fine with. He doesn't find this odd at all.
And yeah, she, it's like her tensely like trying to get him to do this, and then like her hovering over the play button trying to make herself hit it, is interspersed with like Asakawa's big speech about love and letting go, and she can't, she in the end.
Him refusing to spread the tape at all, despite everything, is another big part of that, of him just kind of like championing goodness in humanity.
Yeah, and it's like obviously complete opposite to the ending of the original book and the movies. And in the end, she can't bring herself to make a copy of the tape either. And she just goes back to the well, and looks down, cut to credits. 0 days left.
Oh, this show is good. I strongly, again, I think I said this last episode, but I strongly recommend watching this series if you've been listening to this and haven't at all. It's all free translated up on YouTube. Probably not legally, so that might get taken down at some point, but it's there at the current time at least. One more episode to go.
One more episode to go. But before that, we will be watching Ring Zero.
I'm excited for this one.
End of an era. End of, we're rapidly approaching the end of a bunch of things, really.
Yeah, it's we're approaching a shift in the franchise.
Jed, would you said to me, would you message me half an hour ago saying there's a rubbing sound coming through your mic? Did that stop? I didn't see that until now.
Oh, it's and is this gonna be the episode? It did stop, but it was audible
Okay.
on my end, so it might pick up on the mic
Well,
in the
well, it
episode.
obviously did pick up on the mic because otherwise you couldn't hear it.
Yeah,
Just say that to me out loud when there's a lull, because I'm not going to see a fucking text message while we're talking.
it stopped soon after you did it, so I thought that you did see it.
No, I did not. I have no idea what that was.
Okay, well, sorry. We're safe for the podcasting.
Bye.
Bye.